you in the 06010.
Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Field Yates, Mike Clay, Daniel Dopp, and Stefania Bell with you on a Thursday as we preview the mustache versus the beard. Plus, and that's not referencing Daniel, just to be clear. Plus a bunch of news. We've got wide receiver cornerback matchup. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. It's good to be here. Someone on our Fantasy Focus account this morning posted me as Prison Mike from last year at Halloween. So I'm thinking about that now. Like, I'm getting a little excited.
Is he back? Is Prison Mike back?
Maybe. You know, maybe I'll get a little angry today.
We've seen some returns this year. Cam Newton is back.
Yeah. The Dementors are back.
For week one, David Johnson was back.
He was. Now Prison Mike.
Is Prison Mike back?
I think he might be. We'll have to see when we get into it. Maybe, there's a lot of Detroit Lions on here. I was high on them this year. They're not so good. So maybe I'll have to give them a hard time. There's nobody here that has any vested interest in the Lions. So
I picked the Lions to win this weekend, yesterday on the show. Probably not my best call, huh?
That's tough. They couldn't get it done last year against Arizona.
They tied.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if they win on Sunday, I get a fruit basket from somebody.
I will get you a fruit basket.
Yeah.
That would have to be from Daniel.
I will take it. All right, we've got a bunch of news to get to with lots of injuries to cover, so let's get right into it with the great Stefania Bell.
She's not a clone. She's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
Yeah, she is. That was so good.
Dan gets me every time.
And it's never not funny. It's never not charming. Just like Stefania. She's always charming. Stefania, we learned something wild yesterday. Like, we see some weird stuff. We see baseball players fall in the shower or have to miss a start or something. We see quirky injuries in all sports. I shouldn't single out baseball players there. Yesterday, I saw a tweet from Adam Schefter that kind of blew my mind a little bit. Tyrod Taylor had a punctured lung from his own team doctor. I'm just going to let you take this away and describe what actually happened and then what it means for him going forward.
I can understand why the headline got everyone's attention, right? It's shocking. We don't see it that often. But this is actually a known risk, even though it's a relatively rare one. It's a known risk of a pain relieving injection in the rib area because your lungs sit underneath your ribs. And so while it's unfortunate and everybody, you feel badly for everyone involved, it's something that happened and the appropriate steps were taken after Tyrod Taylor complained of symptoms of shortness of breath and chest pain is what we heard. Which is typical in this situation, and he was taken to the hospital for further evaluation. The good news, he was released that evening, which tells you that it was a minor puncture, and it should resolve on its own, and he should be able to return to full health. Now, obviously, there is some fallout in terms of what the structure of the team looks like right now because of what happened, and that Justin Herbert went in and played well, and I'll let you guys take the analysis from there, but purely from the standpoint of what happened, and according to Adam's report, it was what they call a blind injection, where you're doing the injection based on anatomy. I have talked to a few medical folks in the aftermath of this. I can tell you that there's different, that people operate differently in different situations. Some folks will still do a blind injection. Others have told me they use ultrasound guidance for this reason now, and they believe in doing that only. So it's a discussion point, and I'm sure in the sports medicine world it will be a discussion point. But the important thing is that Tyrod Taylor will recover fully and should be able to get back to playing football from a health standpoint. We'll see what happens from a football operations standpoint.
I feel bad for Tyrod Taylor, and obviously because he has a punctured lung, most notably. He also has lost his job, and this one is just a temporary loss, according to Anthony Lynn, 3 times in very unusual circumstances. He gets benched for Nathan Peterman for a game in Buffalo. He has a concussion against, I believe it was the Jets, and Baker Mayfield took over as the Browns starter, never looked back. And now He has a punctured lung, and he could lose his job to Justin Herbert temporarily, but perhaps not for an indefinite period, Mike, as Tyrod Taylor will be the starter, according to Anthony Lynn, when he's fully healthy. And I thought that Anthony Lynn's remarks in a lot of ways were interesting yesterday, and notably said he was not mad at the doctor at all. Basically, he said these things happen. But without sort of parsing Anthony Lynn's words too much, it is Justin Herbert's job for at least week three. And at the risk of being crass, and that's not the intention by any chance, from a fantasy perspective, this actually means probably good things for Keenan Allen, maybe Mike Williams, and also Hunter Henry.
No question about it. And let's just look what he did in his first NFL game. Completed two-thirds of his passes. Pretty good. 8.5 average depth of throw. That's above average. We like that. To your
sure
point,
do,
pushing
yeah.
the ball downfield. You don't want to see conservatism here. 9.4 yards per attempt. That's well above average. That's good. And he also added 18 yards and a touchdown with his legs. He was fantasy football's number 13 scoring quarterback. So pretty good start for him. We'll keep an eye on that. He's not a fantasy starter yet. I have him 22nd on my board this week. But you're right, 18 targets to Allen and Henry, but only 4 for Mike Williams and Austin Eckler last week. The Panthers, by the way, seems like a good matchup at home, but second fewest fantasy points to quarterback so far. Why? Teams are going to run the ball against them, right? I mean, the Chargers are favored. They should be ahead in this game running the ball. So that's why Herbert's not a guy that I'm streaming this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, so week one, Josh Jacobs scores 3 touchdowns. Last week, Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones combine for 3 more rushing touchdowns. Good week to start Austin Eckler and maybe even Josh Kelly if you play in a really deep league. Good news for Keenan Allen. We discussed this on the show yesterday, but when I made my rankings for week 3 initially, I assumed Herbert would start. I had Keenan Allen inside my top 20. Matthew and Daniel both had him, I believe it was 26 and 31, and they said they'd account for this if Herbert was named the starter, so I think he probably... Does he make your top 20?
I think he's like 21.
Okay.
So it's very close. Certainly, I think you start him with Herbert in there.
Yeah, we liked what we saw last week from Justin Herbert, and I don't think that was just beginner's luck. There was a lot of impressive things he put on tape, and the numbers back that up as well. Stefania, it's been a long week for the 49ers, and bad news got slightly worse yesterday as we learned even more about Tevin Coleman. What do you suspect will be the time frame for him in this latest issue he's dealing with?
Well, the fact that the Niners put him on injured reserve helps us from fantasy perspective because we know it's at least 3 weeks. And we've just been hearing multiple weeks anyway, so I don't think this move was shocking. Not a ton of detail on the extent of his injury, but this sounds like the type of thing where you want to make sure he's 100% before he comes back. We've talked a little bit about how the Niners expressed some anxiety over the turf they were playing on last week, which they will be playing on again this week. And their next 3 games, I believe, are on grass. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's a factor, actually, in determining when guys come back. So obviously it won't be Coleman's situation to be available until 4 weeks from now. But just go ahead and make other plans. Raheem Mostert, you know, has a sprained MCL. He's the one guy that I think is sort of in play. I don't expect him this week, but it may not be as long as people originally thought.
I mean, the 49ers need some injury luck sooner rather than later. If they can get Raheem Mostert back by week four, that would be amazing. I think, by the way, and this could change within a matter of minutes, 49ers are intending to place Tevin Coleman on injured reserve. They may not need to because, honestly, at this point, like, they put so many players on injured reserve. They've already tapped into a lot of their practice squad. Yeah. They may just keep him there, at least in the interim, although it doesn't sound like he'll be back in the next few weeks here. Mike, this week, my theory is that, well, I actually am turning to Jerick McKinnon in at least one league. I sort of wonder if this team, it's not necessarily preservation, but it's maybe preventative workload here. Back-to-back years out of the NFL for Jerick McKinnon because of a knee injury. I tend to think, I think I was saying more like 12-ish touches for Jerick McKinnon as opposed to 18-ish touches for Jerick McKinnon yesterday because Jeff Wilson is a capable backup running back for them. Do you suspect that they will turn Jerick McKinnon even more loose than my assumption of 12-ish touches?
No, I don't. I mean, he had 3 carries in both games so far and a total of 6 targets. So he's had some big plays that make him look like he's making a big impact, and he has, I mean, when he's been on the field, but they have limited him. That's been pretty clear so far. So that was my question too, and I put that out there on social media a couple of days ago because there's so much hype around him. Are we sure they're going to unleash him and make him a 15, 18 touch guy? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Right? I think that not only the fact that they might be limiting him, but the past of Kyle Shanahan's offense, right? They don't really give anybody 60, 70% of the touches most weeks. They distribute them to a few guys. So I'm with you. I have McKinnon 29th in my running back ranking.
So do I.
29th, right on the money. Look at that.
Look at that.
Jeff Wilson, I have 39th, so I'm not feeling great about him as a flex yet. You know, if he gets a goal line carrying scores, fine. It's possible. If you're desperate, he's an option. But remember, we actually did get a long look at him. And end of 2018, six games, he was their de facto starter, 66 carries, 266 yards, only 15 targets, was 44th in fantasy points, right? So kind of in that range of where we all have him ranked. But one guy to keep in mind, and if you're in a deeper league or a dynasty league, quick note here, Jamichael Hasty, very interesting player. They had Salvin Ahmed there was on competing with him. He got cut. He's with Miami now. Hasty won that job on the practice squad, essentially. And he's an interesting player. He's a little undersized, scat back, but best short shuttle at the combine. Very explosive. Yep. Interesting in the Shanahan offense. And, you know, I like that force missed tackle yards after contact profile. He had a very good one in this class. Also, 79 catches at Baylor. So interesting name to file away there. I would not be surprised if he's on the active roster this week.
And by the way, the way it works with the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan is if you're like a random running back, you're bound for fantasy relevance at some point.
Yeah,
them's the rules.
Yeah, he may lead that backfield in touches this week. I mean, would that surprise anyone?
Wouldn't surprise me. No, that's why, again, yesterday I was sort of not debating, but I suggested to Matthew and Daniel, they were a bit more optimistic on McKinnon. I was a bit more in the Mike Clay range there. We'll see on Sunday. The 49ers, again, they have just been devastated with injuries, as nobody knows better than Stefania. Okay, Daniel, but that's fine. Yeah.
I just want to change my... I just don't want to be on Matthew's side anymore. I'd rather
okay.
be with
yeah,
you.
Totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Welcome to the club.
No, cool. It's too late.
Awesome. No, come on. Let me change.
Okay. I think he's in. You're in? You're not letting him in?
Okay.
I welcome you, Daniel, with open arms.
I appreciate you guys.
Zach Moss popped up on the injury report on Wednesday, Stefania. Hasn't been a great start for the Bills backfield as of yet. What is Zach Moss dealing with?
If only they would give us the exact details. Mm. All we know is that it's a toe injury that kept him out. I will say this. He had a toe injury in college. No idea if this is related or not. Obviously, when we hear toe injury and you think of running backs and wide receivers, you tend to think of turf toe. But I've also seen sometimes it's other things. It could be a fracture. It can be some other kind of sprain. So stay tuned. If he misses two consecutive days, you start getting a little more nervous. And hopefully we'll get more details by tomorrow.
All right. And as we know, Mike, this backfield, as I just said, hasn't necessarily been stalwarts out of the gates. I made the point a couple of days ago on the podcast, the Bills' best running back so far from a fantasy perspective has been Josh Allen. Do you feel like is there anything that you've seen in this backfield that leads you to believe that one of these two players is going to eventually catapult ahead of the other? And if that's part one, and part two would be in the event that Zach Moss sits, what is the value of Devin Singletary as a result of that?
Well, for the first one, the answer is no. I think they're both playing well, and I think this is what we expected, right? I mean, we kind of prayed that if you took Zach Moss late, you kind of prayed that he would take control. But I think realistically, this is what we expected. What we did not expect, though, is that the Bills would be the game script adjusted pass heaviest offense
amazing,
in the NFL
right? It's amazing.
For 2 weeks. So yeah. If that continues, you know, I think it. I was going to say it benefits Singletary, but not really, because Zach Moss is a pretty good pass catcher as well. So I think they'll continue this pretty even distribution. But they're both outside my top 25, assuming they both play. So you're right. They haven't been great in fantasy so far. If Moss is out, though, Singletary is a must start, I think. Now, remember, he's been kind of limited so far. He has 19 total carries in two games. He had 20-plus carries three times as a rookie, and that was with Frank Gore pretty involved in that offense as well. So he can handle more. I'm sure I'll rank him in around 15th to 17th in that range. So if Moss is out, he'll be the clear guy. Maybe TJ Yeldon gets a touch or two, or, you know, whoever they choose to rotate in. But it'll be the Singletary show playing about 70% of the snaps.
You know, one of the things that we deal with, and this is not unique to us at ESPN, it's not unique to anybody, is it's still week three. We've only played two games. So, like, the Bills have played some quirky games so far. Week one, they kind of run rough all over the Jets. The Jets kind of made it competitive at the end, but that game was basically a blowout from about halftime on. Last week, they're playing Miami in a game that was, like, sneaking competitive, then has a lightning delay that pushes it back by, like, 20-some-odd minutes, right? It was just a weird game that, like, the reason I mention that is... You're right. Like, the game script stuff so far has been very pass heavy, but this still feels like a team that will level out a little bit because of that's like that's been the foundation for it for the past couple of years during the early stages of Josh Allen's career. Maybe his evolution as a passer will lead us to even more throwing, but I think these backs are bound to get more involved is the point I'm trying to make. Oh, man. Stefania and Mike, I am so sorry. So, Stefania, we know that 3/5 of the Eagles' initial starting offensive line are on IR, perhaps done for the season. And now their first-round pick, Jalen Reagor, is also banged up again, but it's not related to what he dealt with during the preseason.
I know. In the preseason, I was really high on Jalen Reagor because he had a clear path to a lot of work, right? Because Alshon Jeffrey was still out. Marquise Goodwin had opted out for the season. He injured his shoulder. And then there was a question of whether he'd be ready. And then he did really well in his recovery to get back and be available at the start of the season. And in week 2, he goes down with an ulnar collateral ligament tear in his thumb. So there's an ulnar collateral ligament in your elbow, which most people are familiar with is Tommy John ligament. There's also one in your thumb, and it basically helps control the stability of your thumb relative to the rest of your hand. I was just looking at the play again where he got hurt, and it's hard to tell exactly, but it looks like when he had come down with a pass and he was sort of battling for control of the ball, you can get your thumb bent away from the rest of your hand and it tears the ligament. So most likely he will undergo surgery. Haven't heard the details on that yet, but this is a multi-week injury. If you recall, Drew Brees had this injury last year, came back in about 5 weeks, I think. The standard is somewhere in the 5 to 8 week range, depending on the approach for treatment. So I would expect it'll be longer than the injured reserve time for him.
Oh, boy. I just feel for Carson Wentz and the Eagles and all the injuries they've dealt with in previous years. And here we are again. Mike started a tweet yesterday. It was Eagles wide receiver depth chart. And it was very thin. I was thinking to myself, like, do you just save the first line in your drafts each year? Eagles wide receiver depth chart. And then you just have like 3 spots available because that's about how many receivers they have on average that are healthy.
Yeah, basically by like week 3, you're already pretty much out of guys. It's kind of crazy, right? We talked all about how Wentz had nobody to throw to down the stretch last season. And it's like the same thing now. Like, are they going to trade for someone? I also speculated a little bit about that. I mean, they may have to, right? They may have to make a move. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, they may have to. The problem is that I look around the NFL and 2 things stand out to me is that, like, I don't know that wide receiver depth is great. And second of all is that I don't know how much in-season roster movement we'll see because of COVID protocols, right? Like, you're bringing a guy in, like, you got to make a trade on, like, Monday in order for that player to have a good chance of being available for you by Sunday, and that's assuming he can pick up the playbook. In any event, the Eagles, I mentioned a couple days ago, and I sort of forget sometimes, it's all relative, how there are a couple of quarterbacks that you went into the season feeling confident were going to be a weekly starter for you, and I'm already starting to feel like, hey, you may be able to fade a little bit, right? I think Drew Brees is one that people are concerned about. Matthew's a little bit less so, but I think there are some people that have been concerned, disappointed by Tom Brady's output so far. I think Carson Wentz is probably in that mix. He was a guy that we were championing as, hey, you could walk, I would feel comfortable walking into the season with Carson Wentz as my starter because of all these injuries, because of some of the things that Carson Wentz himself. We were talking grammar this morning before the show, and I can't even...
It's they self, I think.
They self, that's right. Carson Wentz, they self, has been struggling. That I think along all of those lines, Mike, this is a player that, you know, if you enter the season with him as your starter, you probably already have a backup quarterback on your roster that you're considering starting over him.
No question about it. I mean, you know what? It's kind of interesting timing, right? Because they're playing Cincinnati this week at home. And we've seen some quarterbacks.
We just saw Baker Mayfield. But his fantasy day wasn't great last week. Baker's.
Yeah, well, he didn't have to, right? He didn't have to. They got such a lead. But I think this could be, with all the Eagles' injuries, I think Cincinnati hangs in this game, probably covers, keeps kind of tight, and Wentz will have to throw it a little bit. So if you were going to take one more shot at it, at least you have a chance here against the Bengals defense. So I think he's a streaming option, but at the same time, I'm with you. He's definitely not a lock him in your lineup every week sort of quarterback.
I think the reason why a lot of people will have somebody else is that there are reasonable streaming options this week. Like, for example, Gardner Minshew, we'll talk about a little bit later on in the show. One more here, Stefania. AJ Brown missed week 2 because of, I think it's a bone bruise on his knee. What's his status going forward?
Well, he didn't practice yesterday, and you guys may recall when I heard that he was dealing with a bone bruise, I said expect it to be multiple weeks. I still stand by that, and if you notice when A.J. Brown spoke to the Tennessean, he said, I got to take this one slow. Like, he understands, and I think that there's already been a conversation. It's really a matter of the tissue healing. If you overload it too quickly, you can end up with far worse problems, so I would just plan on A.J. Brown not being there this week, maybe not the week after. We'll see. But I would be making other plans this week for sure.
What a what a bummer for a player that was obviously ascending to the moon this year, going into the season. Really talented player, Mike. Going to miss multiple games, it sounds like, in total. Maybe even three games or four games. We'll see. Corey Davis, I thought he handled himself pretty well last week. 3 for 36 with a touchdown grab. That was good. Adam Humphries in the mix last week. And Ryan Tannehill is playing money.
He is.
I know our buddy Evan Silva has been talking about this a bunch this week, but Ryan Tannehill's throw on the Adam Humphries touchdown grab was silly good. I mean, so is Humphries on the fantasy radar here? Is it more that Corey Davis moves into like possible flex consideration here? What's the fallout from the A.J. Brown injury?
Yeah, I don't want to get too high on Humphries just yet, right? He did catch that touchdown, which is not an area where he usually produces much,
right?
We know that. He has 13 targets so far this season, caught 11 for 95 in the score. He's wide receiver 27 right now. I have him borderline top 50, so you know, he starts getting into the flex conversation in deeper leagues. I'm not too comfortable with him yet. Remember, it is a very run-heavy offense. We have to remember that. Corey Davis, A.J. Brown has missed a lot of time. He still needs 14 targets, right? I'd like to see more than that, and that's the reason why, again, in a lower-volume offense, I don't feel great about him. As a wide receiver three, I would say a flex option fine with Brown out. That's okay with me. The Vikings have allowed the second most fantasy points to wide receivers, which
is
interesting.
Part of it, yeah.
But they were better last week. They had a really bad week one. They were better last week. And man, they're 0-2. They're back home. Like, Mike Zimmer is a really good defensive coach. I have a feeling. I don't know if it's just a feeling or
good call.
Maybe they get on board.
You got a feeling.
Start to turn it, or I got a feeling that they might turn it around this week. So, but look, he's just too good of a coach. They don't allow touchdowns like this and production like this. And they already took a little step forward last week. So, I'd keep an eye on that. I think Minnesota starts to maybe wins a game this week, gets on the right track soon.
The crazy part is just that Ryan Tannehill has been dealing since he took over last year. And it's like he was the trendiest player to not continue to deal in this season. And you know what he's doing? He's dealing. He is dealing. He has been every bit the player he was for the last half of last season. All right, we're going to talk about the game in just a few moments. But first, Daniel.
Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? Mike's favorite running back, Kalen Ballage, to get into the end zone tonight against the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Who?
He doesn't even play for the Dolphins anymore, Mike! Come on! As great as that be, it's probably not going to happen, but at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.
If you are missing the fun of the ballpark right now, you're not alone. But just because you can't be in the stadium, it doesn't mean you can't bring that classic ballpark feeling home. And the best way to do that is with Ballpark Buns and Rolls. Ballpark and the ballpark go together. Baseball and summer, they're an essential American pastime and America's favorite buns and rolls. They're an essential part of celebrations, big and small. There's nothing worse than your bun breaking under that pressure. Guess what? Ballpark buns and rolls never fall apart. They're always freshly baked, always soft, and always delicious. Ballpark buns and rolls are a great way to get a carefree taste of summer any time of the year. Whether shared at a backyard barbecue, a fall tailgate, or any manner of celebration year-round, you can't help but enjoy yourself when enjoying a ballpark bun creation. So next time you're picking up essentials for grilling, tailgating, a little slow cooker action, or a nostalgic night in, make sure you grab ballpark buns and rolls. Find them wherever you grocery shop. Alrighty. We have, and look at how slick we look. We're talking about the Dolphins and the Jaguars, and bam! For those of you that are watching on this live stream right now, you see our friend, the Miami Dolphin, right there.
My 4-year-old's favorite team just because they're Dolphins, you know?
So mascot. At that age, you do judge a lot of things based off mascots, right?
Absolutely.
Favorite team in the NFL or across all sports?
We watch a lot of football in our house.
That's
so
true.
Her favorite color is orange, so she likes the Flyers, I guess, just because they're an orange team that I watch.
Oh, round bucket of Flyers,
look at
baby.
This. We got the orange. I'll have to show her this later. She'll actually pay attention to football for a few minutes.
Oh, finally someone will pay attention to our show.
Hey, yo. This offseason.
I guess. I don't know. Weird flex.
This offseason, the Dolphins spent 2 years and $10 million on Jordan Howard. And then 1 year of fifth-round draft pick and $2.59 million on Matt Breida. And neither one of them's a starter at running back right now, Mike.
Yeah,
it's Miles Gaskin. And behind the curtains here, Mike, after week one, was like, dude, you going to throw Myles Gaskin into the waiver wire column? And I was like, Mike, you are a smart man, but you are misinformed. I want one more week before I throw him into my waiver wire column. And Mike said, okay, we'll talk in a week. And then you know what happened? Is a week later, Mike looked really smart, which is usually how things work here on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. And I put him on the waiver wire column. He's the man in their backfield right now.
He is. And look, I thought this was interesting. So before, right before the season, there was like, I can't remember who was talking. I don't know if it was, you know, Chan Gailey or someone was the offensive coordinator talking about the offense. And they were like, yeah, Matt Brady, he'll have a role. And then he was like, that's about Jordan Howard, the presumed starter. Oh, yeah, he'll have a role too. And I'm like, he said they'll both have a role. Like, that's interesting that he worded it that way. That's kind of what he meant. They're going to have a role behind Myles Gaskin. Nobody knew this, though, right? Yeah. We had no clue that he was going to be the main guy. But you're right. That has been the case. 62% of the snaps so far. Only 26% of the carries, though. So they are kind of distributing the carries pretty evenly with Howard and Breida. Only 16 carries in two games. But he is averaging 5.5 targets per game. That's really where his value has been. He's, believe it or not, second among running backs in catches right now with 10 and is 24th in fantasy points. And one nugget for tonight's game, if you're thinking about him as a flex option, the Jags have stopped the run well so far. They've done a good job against the rush. But they allowed 17 catches on 17 targets for 142 yards and a touchdown against the Colts running backs.
In remember that.
Remember
yeah.
that? So I thought that was interesting because that's his game, right? He's a pass catcher. And if Ryan Fitzpatrick keeps throwing to him, he could have a decent game as a receiver. So I have him 25th on my board. I think he's a fine flex.
Okay. And also, it looks like Jordan Howard's still the goal line back for Miami. He hasn't been efficient so far, but still seems like the guy near the goal line. So probably Myles Gaskin's value, as Mike pointed out, is rooted in his receiving ability. Devontae Parker's off the injury report. That's good news here, Mike. I think some people, yourself included, might see him as sort of a buy low candidate. It's been a slow start. But he was better last week in week two, was Devontae Parker. And, you know, he's got at least 8 targets in 9 of his past 13 games. While Preston Williams has not yet kind of picked up where he left off last year, Devontae Parker, I think, still sort of firmly entrenches the number one wide receiver in Miami, and no matchup concern this week for him.
Yeah, I think the cat's kind of out of the bag. Like, he actually has broken out, and I think he's legit now. And we've seen that so far, even in tough matchups, right? They played New England and Buffalo, two very good pass defenses. We know that. And he has shown well. Now, remember, he missed half of week one. He only played 23 snaps, had 4 catches for 47 yards. Last week, he got a full game. Again, a good, tough matchup against the Bills. 8 targets, 5 catches, 53 yards, and a touchdown. He's a top 30 fantasy receiver right now, and he missed half a game.
Yeah.
He's only playing a game and a half. So, good start so far. The Jags have been pretty good against wide receivers so far. Only 262 yards allowed. That's third fewest. C.J. Henderson looks like a hit. You know, it was a good pick so far. That one's panning out, a first-round pick this year. But he has been heavily targeted. I think that's interesting. So even if he's on Parker a lot in this game, quarterbacks haven't been afraid to go after him. I think that'll be the case with Parker here. So if you have him, I think he's a borderline wide receiver 3.
And just to extrapolate that thought about maybe these wide receivers in Miami sort of trending upwards eventually, Preston Williams, I think, will come around a little bit. Hasn't had a great season so far, but we saw some flashes last year.
Yeah, no question about it. I liked him a lot in the pre-draft process. Again, very tough matchup so far. He's been on the field. He's playing, what is it here? I think I wrote this down. 85% of the snaps.
Okay, that's good.
19% snap share.
Target.
What is that? Target share. And 32% of the air yard. So he's getting the ball vertically as well. So, and by the way, 46% of his targets have been off target so far. So they're just missing him, right? I think he'll get going.
Well, hey, guys, before we move on to Preston Williams, I actually wanted to chat about Devontae Parker because I know he's off the injury report going into the game. But he's still being bothered by that hamstring. I mean, he actually tweaked it in week two, and he's not 100%, but he is off the report, no limitations. So he is going to play in tonight's game. But I would just caution people that I don't think you're seeing the full Devontae Parker yet. And I would not be surprised if all of a sudden he comes up with another aggravation of this hamstring injury. He's really determined to play all 16 games. The rub on him was that he couldn't get through a full season. He did it last year, and it means everything to him to be out there. But
so would that change your decision tonight to start him or sit him?
It would depend on my options. Quite frankly, it's a good matchup. And last week I was reluctant to start him. I think we talked about that on Sunday. I think he's got a high ceiling, right? He's always got the opportunity. If Fitzpatrick's looking for him, I don't know that I would bench him, but I would just keep that in the back of my mind.
Okay, interesting. You know the Dolphins' best wide receiver is?
Yes. A tight end.
He's No, I said wide receiver.
Isaiah Ford.
No, Mike Gesicki. He's a wide receiver.
Basically, you're right.
No, he is.
He has to be in Chan Gailey's offense.
Right.
He does not like tight ends, and he's playing a lot. So.
Yeah, but he's right. Kyle looked this up for me yesterday. 7 snaps as a inline tight end, which that means a tight end who is aligned next to the offensive tackle in a 3-point stance. He's a wide receiver.
Yeah,
in this offense.
And again, this is the Gailey offense, right? Yeah. In Buffalo and New York, he had 4 wide receivers on the field all the time. Gesicki is a de facto receiver.
I think he's a wide receiver. Like, I'm going to start championing Keith to make him a wide receiver in the fantasy game at some point because he's a wide receiver. He's used that way. Yeah, you can do that?
Do that when you're... Again, I don't know. That's pushing it. That's a tough one. That's always one of the tough ones.
It is tough. I'm just saying, from a usage standpoint, he certainly looks like a wide receiver to me. He makes catches like a wide receiver. For now, his fantasy position remains tight end, and I have a hard time if your last name is not, and you're healthy, Kelsey, Kittle, Andrews, who am I forgetting? Ertz to
Ertz
a degree? Maybe Hunter Henry. Other than that, Tyler Higbee maybe. Like, other than that, I have a hard time saying, like, lock it in, got to start every single week, and I expect you to have a great game. But Mike Gesicki's close, Mike.
Yeah, he's definitely getting there. And you're right. There's a lot of guys kind of in that tier now. We expected that. We talked about it all offseason. It might be the year of the breakout tight end. There's so many young guys coming up. And that's not even mentioning, like, some of these other Dalton Schultz, like a guy like that.
I know.
So it's unbelievable. So I'm with you. 11 targets, 8 catches, a buck 30, and a touchdown against the Bills last week. Again, a good defense, career high, 27 fantasy points in that game. Leads all tight ends in air yards this season and end zone targets with 4. The Jags D, by the way, a league high 198 yards allowed to tight end so far. I don't know if that matters to you because he's not a tight end, as you just pointed out.
He's not.
But they were crushed by Jonnu Smith last week, who you could also make the case is a borderline tight end the way they use him. He's more of an H-back. They move him around a lot. So I'm with you. I think he's a must-start this week.
Yeah.
Right? It's a great matchup for him.
I thought about asking Mike Clay to leave the podcast before the show started.
Sure.
I thought, you know, the disrespect that he showed by not honoring Gardner Minshew, by shaving off the sides and the middle part of his chin. I mean,
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, you had the grand opportunity, Mike. Daniel looks just like Ryan Fitzpatrick. You're our best shot to look just like Gardner Minshew, and you bypassed it. You even had the same color hair. It couldn't really work.
You literally have an entire Halloween costume of Gardner Minshew that you cannot wear.
But I forgot to bring my Gardner Minshew jersey to the hotel this week, so I'm taking myself off the hook.
My favorite part was watching you apply mascara onto your upper lip so that it looked like you had a mustache.
It was a good mustache. Yeah. At first, I bought one that was like just one of those glue-on mustaches, and it was like, this is so inadequate. Go big or go home. It's Halloween. It only happens once a year. Most years, at least. Let's talk about the Jaguars, though. And Gardner Minshew, how about this? He is one of 2 quarterbacks in the NFL, and I'm going to challenge you to name the other one, who has at least 3 passing touchdowns in each of the past 2 games.
It's not Aaron Rodgers, right?
No, you know this. Come on. This is simple. You know this.
3 passing touchdowns?
Yeah.
Mahomes?
Russell Wilson.
Oh, of course.
Duh. Yeah. Duh. But I really should have done it. I should have phrased it the other way, right? Russell Wilson is one of 2 passing, 2 quarterbacks with 3 plus passing touchdowns. Yeah, you would have definitely nailed Minshew. Anyways,
right, it was Tom Brady. He's been Minshew.
Yeah.
That
was good. He's been top 12 each of the past 2 weeks, Mike, each of the only 2 weeks so far this season. He is facing a defense that we don't have a ton of confidence in, right? Basically, the Dolphins have been shredded twice. Now, they've played 2 great quarterbacks, Josh Allen and Cam Newton. As I mentioned earlier, if you have a Carson Wentz, if you have a Tom Brady, if you have a Drew Brees, you sit in any or all of those guys in favor of a Gardner Minshew if he's available?
I think so. I'm a QB8, so there's only 7 guys I'm starting over.
Everybody has him at QB8 this
really?
Week. But yesterday it was 8-8-8. Make it
8.
Not 888, quadruple 8.
Yeah, in-house group think there. I like it, which means he'll finish 22nd.
No doubt.
Look, I'm with you. You kind of laid it out well. 11th in scoring this year, 2nd in the NFL in passing touchdowns, who would have thought? And 8th in carries, too. He is 9. Last year, even though he missed about 2 games, right, he was benched for Nick Foles for about a game and a half, and he obviously didn't play the first half of week 1, led the NFL in scrambles. So we're not afraid. You know, he's not afraid to pull it down and run with the football. You mentioned this, Dolphins defense, 60 total fantasy points allowed to Cam and Allen. So obviously they've been giving up a ton of production. And by the way, they're young, but for the most part, but a pretty underrated supporting cast. he has.
It's been fun.
At least with the pass catchers, right? DJ Chark, who really hasn't done much yet. Laviska Shenault, who's a tremendous-looking second-round rookie pick. Can't wait to see more
X-factor.
Of him. We'll get to him in a minute. Keelan Cole, obviously, has somehow emerged this year. James Robinson looks like an emerging star. And believe it or not, I'll give you a trivia question now. And I did tweet this yesterday, so you might have seen it. Who leads the Jags in air yard so far?
I saw it.
You did see
it. I saw it, yeah.
You know? Did you see it?
No, I did not see it. Tyler Eifert.
That's correct.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
You totally saw it.
I did not see it. No, but it was the one person not listed here. I thought that was
Yeah. All right, so here's a part of the reasons why we love Mike, and one of the reasons why I respect Mike so much, is that Mike has not just a keen process of projections and rankings and everything else, but you have a sincere passion for football and evaluating football. You're not simply analytics. You trust your eyes. Mm-hmm. You're a blend of all the resources we have available. And during the pre-draft process, like we're talking many, many, many months ago, you had a player in your radar that you kind of liked, a guy named James Robinson out of Illinois State.
Yeah, and what's unfortunate here is that I wish he played D1 I shouldn't say D1. I wish he was in the FBS
because you
don't have like as much in depth on those guys that are the next level down. But yeah, he's good after contact, right? He's just one of them elusive guys, very productive at the college level. So definitely an interesting prospect. And suddenly, I mean, he's RB14 on my board this week. I mean, he's getting the volume so far. He's eighth in the NFL in rushing yards. 5.1 yards per carry. So he's getting the volume almost that Leonard Fournette was getting, but also a lot of efficiency as well. Not much passing down work, but keep this in mind. Quick nugget here. Jacksonville has trailed a 93% of their offensive snaps so far. That is the second highest. He may actually get more carries in this game. They're favored, of course, at home and against Miami.
I got to tell you, Mike, and I was a little bit less optimistic going into the season. Not as much passing game usage, obviously. Chris Thompson's still definitely a factor there. But one thing I just sort of dawned on me is that 6 of his 16 games are coming against a division that none of the matchups scare you, right? Mm-hmm. None of those matchups are like, wow, they have no chance of getting something out of James Robinson. They finished last place in their division last year. That means they also play, as we know tonight, the Dolphins. They play the Bengals eventually, and they're going to play whoever finished last in the AFC West last year, which I think was the Chargers. Pretty sure. Yeah, anyways, the point is that like his schedule is not nearly as daunting as like oftentimes when it's a run-heavy running back, you get weary of, hey, well, if they start to play a bunch of games where they're going to get smoked, you know, that doesn't bode well for him. Maybe the schedule has all of a sudden looked a little bit more crystal clear for James Robinson to sustain flex consideration for much of this year, especially with all the injuries. As we said a couple days ago, there's so many running back injuries that when you're building your running back ranks, it gets ugly by like running back 13. It is so hard to find guys that you can count on. We have to ask Stefania about a couple of injuries with the Jaguars, starting with DJ Chark, who is now, as far as I know, Stefania, questionable to play tonight.
That's true, and might not. Apparently, he was hurt when he went up for a ball, landed really hard on the ground. He's listed on the injury report with both his chest and his back, so it sounds like it went right through front to back. And he's quite sore and moving around gingerly. And I think it's going to come down to pregame, and they'll see how he looks. But right now, he is a very legitimate question mark for tonight.
Okay, so Mike, that's really interesting. We'll come back with some kicker updates in a second with Stefania. Two questions here with DJ Chark. If he plays, how high does he climb in your ranks, or how high would he be ranked for you? And if he does not play, does this open the door to somebody else, whether it's a Keelan Cole, whether it's a Laviska Shenault that you would want to have in your lineup? Because I think it's hard for me to envision two Jaguars wide receivers being roster locks tonight.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, first of all, Chark hasn't been targeted very much. His targets are down
from
7.8 to 3.5 through two games. And that could be a fluke.
Small sample size.
Two games. But I did knock him down to wide receiver 36 because of how they're distributing targets in this offense. Remember, it isn't the same offense as last year. Jay Gruden calling the plays there now. Chark's snap share is about the same, though. That's good. He's still playing a lot. So I think the targets will rise at least somewhat. And as for the matchup, it's pretty good. The Dolphins have allowed the fourth most fantasy points to wide receivers so far, allowed 74 last week to Buffalo's wide receivers. So that's notable. And also Byron Jones is out.
Right.
And, you know, just a quick nugget here. Byron Jones, obviously Stephon Diggs had a huge game last week. We know that. On the first two snaps, he was in the slot. And Byron Jones, who only played on the outside when he was a corner in Dallas, was on him. He was going to shadow him in that game. He got hurt. They had to put the rookie on him, Noah.
Don't even bother trying.
Yeah,
he went to Auburn, 29th pick in the draft. He begins with an I. I've said it 13 times in the past month.
I'm going to get it. We're going to do still receiver screw it corner. Up. We're going to do receiver corner then, and I'll get it right.
Okay.
But anyway, he struggled week one, actually lost his job to Nick Needham in the slot. He came in, and the rest is history. It was a rough day. So anyway, Jones is out. That's notable for this group because, you know, with him out, they really struggled. Xavien Howard may shadow him, but I don't think he's going to. Igbinoghi. That's it.
Well, you know what we need? We need a drop for that.
Yeah.
But now, rather than like us trying, just Daniel, just maybe we can get a drop and just Noah.
And Okuda.
I'm keeping. Okuda. Okuda. We can.
I got it now.
You got it. Yeah,
now we got it.
Good. I needed 1 week on that.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Laviska Shenault. I'm with you, Mike. It's only 13 touches so far, and seven of them have been rushes. But he's an exciting player. Clearly, a guy that they had a plan for when they drafted him out of Colorado, which is cool to see.
Yeah. Really quick note on those two guys. Shenault, I think, will go up, and Chark as well. I think Cole will come down a little bit. 92% catch rate, 2 touchdowns already with 0.8 OTD. Touchdowns will come down. Catch rate's going to come down. He looks good. It's good, fine.
Keelan Cole,
I think as the other guys go up, he's going to drop off a little bit. Keelan Cole, yeah.
Just in case, Stefania, someone has Josh Lambeau as their kicker, they might have to make a move.
They might, and not just for this week. All of a sudden on the injury report with a left hip injury, that's his plant leg. Not many details on the nature of the injury, but it's significant enough that Doug Marone said they are moving him to injured reserve. Yep. And it will be a rookie kicking tonight.
Brandon Wright. Here's a fun fact for you, and this is one of those things that like is only interesting to probably me.
And me.
And you. Okay, good.
And probably Bill Barnwell.
Yeah, probably. That's right. If I'm not mistaken, I believe 3 of the 32 starting kickers in the NFL right now went to Georgia State.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that's random. Yeah, Will Lutz.
Okay.
Brandon Wright. And can you name the third?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I have no chance.
Believe it's Tyler Bass, the Bills' fifth-round pick this year. That, like, not exactly. Apparently, it's a powerhouse. Georgia State, the new kicking powerhouse. I'm not sure who the previous kicking powerhouse was, but it's now Georgia State. Quick game pick here. Mustache or beard?
Yeah, I have it. I'm, like, right on the line for this game. So
this comes down to whether you believe a mustache is more powerful than a beard.
I do have the Jags, and I'm looking for my score right
okay.
now.
Okay, Daniel, who do you got?
26-23 Jags. So I'm, like, right on the line.
I want to go with a beard so badly.
I know.
But I think it's the mustache.
Okay, I'm going with the Jaguars as well. Stefania, what do you got?
You know what?
Yeah, do it.
I'm going to give Miami some love.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. I like Brian Flores. I'm just going to throw my weight behind that.
Yeah, I would like. Certainly, I'd like to see. Miami needs to get going in a hurry because they. Not that they were, I think, in most people's eyes, expected to make the playoffs this year, but like with all that money they spent this offseason, you can't fall to 0-3 out of the gate. Sorry. Shell knows that between every tee up, lay up, and batter up, that you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast. So come to Shell and get 3 things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then, save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Oh, time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, see full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
Last week is in the book, and now it's time to review the tape and prepare for this week. There is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now because you do not want to miss this. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. It's simple. Pick your lineup, stand to the salary cap, see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes from DraftKings. They have paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012, so they know a thing or two about cold, hard cash. Download the DraftKings app now and use code FOCUS. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the Week 3 action. Enter code FOCUS to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code FOCUS, F-O-C-U-S, only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
He's he's a brainiac.
So insulting that you would confuse him.
I know. Matthew. I'm so sorry.
All righty. As we always say, one of my favorite pieces that goes up on ESPN.com each week is wide receiver cornerback matchups done by the OG of this topic, which is Mike Clay. Often imitated, never duplicated. Let's talk about, though, about these wide receiver cornerback matchups for week three, Mike. You've got, let's start with the positive. These are players that you think have an advantageous matchup this week, and their fantasy value stands to go up as a result of it. We saw last week that Cam Newton, with a lesser wide receiver group than the Cowboys, threw for 397 yards against the Seahawks. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Seahawks are having a hard time on defense, at least stopping wide receivers. We can
yes,
say that,
are.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
But just, you know, guy, you know, I like my numbers, right? Did you know that? I'm gonna
never heard that before.
Yeah, I have some numbers here for you. 731 yards allowed to wide receivers so far.
Is that good or bad?
That's bad because it's 207 more than any other team in the league right now. That
wow.
is an unbelievably high number. I don't know if that's a record. That's something we should look into, but unbelievable. The Atlanta Falcons second in that category. But nonetheless, most fantasy points allowed to that position. Most yards, obviously. If we split it up a little bit, third most to the perimeter, that's where Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup have aligned. They're going to see a lot of Shaq Griffin, who's allowed to third most fantasy points among corners, and Quentin Dunbar, who surprisingly is allowed to seventh most to receivers. So they have both really struggled. And then they've also allowed the most fantasy points to the slot. That's where CeeDee Lamb will align against Ugo Amadi. He's replacing Marquise Blair as their slot corner. So I don't know about you guys. I have all three of them as top 35 plays this week, which isn't a shock. I think coming into this, like last year, when all three of Gallup, Cooper, and Cobb played, they were all top 31 receivers. Now they have a good matchup. And you know, aside of Gallup, they've been pretty productive so far. I think he'll come around. They're all top 35. I think you could start them all.
I'm in the interest of going spicy this week. I already said I think the Cardinals are going to lose to the Lions. Mm-hmm. That's me standing with my buddy Daniel Dopp. This can be the fantasy game of the year.
Yeah.
Because as bad as the Seahawks cornerbacks are, Mike, I know that you're aware of this, and I put this on Twitter yesterday. Just file it away. The Cowboys' three starting cornerbacks in week one were Anthony Brown. He's on IR. Chidobe Awuzie, who is now going to miss multiple weeks. I don't know if it's an IR candidate or not. And Trevon Diggs, who is the younger brother of Stephon Diggs, of course. He's on the injury report because of a shoulder issue.
Mm-hmm. And a rookie. Yeah,
and a rookie as well. So they have Brandon Carr back in the mix, who's sort of a hybrid cornerback safety now. I don't know where they're going to turn to, but you also may have heard that Russell Wilson is good. He got good this year. Yeah.
Whoa. I traded for him in a dynasty league in the
I don't want to talk about it. Longer the conversation. Derrick Henry was a good pickup for me anyways. anyways, yeah, so I think there's going to be – would it surprise you if it was 48-45 on Sunday? Wouldn't surprise me.
Not at all, which means, again, it'll be 13-10. Right,
right, like, naturally. Anyways.
Is this an easy way for a short list to just say start all your wide receivers against Seattle every single week until we see something change?
And for now, until – I mean, that duo on the outside should be good. I mean, Griffin was great last season, and Dunbar has been really good as well. That's why they traded for him. They should be good, but they're off to a slow start.
We did this last week, and I – think it was useful for your mental state, Daniel? We asked you to leave during the portion where we talked about the line.
You're
good
now?
You have to stay this week because you messed up my drops.
Yeah.
I'm coming hard on the Lions here.
All right, so tell us about the Lions and who they're facing this week.
Okay, well, objectively speaking, they are very beat up, right? Just not to pick on Daniel, they really are hurt. They're hurting. Desmond Trufant missed last week. He's questionable. They're very young as well. Justin Coleman's on IR. Trufant, I just mentioned, missed last week. Jeff Okuda allowed 96 yards in week two in his first start in the NFL, first round pick.
Against Devontae Adams.
Well, he missed half the game.
Sure.
Yeah.
He looked silly against Devontae Adams, though.
Yeah, but anyway, off to a slow start. And Amani
Oruwari.
Penn State, right?
Yeah.
Iowa or Penn State, one of the two. I'm sorry. Anyway,
he's been okay. So that's the positive.
Okay.
I wanted to throw in there for you.
Thanks, man.
look, they're allowing 15 yards a catch to wide receivers. They got beat up by the Bears receivers. Never a good look. They did fine last week. Of course, like I said, Devontae Adams barely played in that game. We're going to upgrade these guys. DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, you're starting in all formats. The question, I think, is Christian Kirk. What do you do with him? 17th in the NFL in air yards so far. He's dealing with a groin injury. If he doesn't play,
my finger.
If he doesn't play, I think Andy Isabella could be a deep sleeper. I think like if he's out, Isabella in DFS. If Kirk plays, maybe use him in DFS. I think it's season long though. I don't feel good about Kirk yet. The volume hasn't been there so far, and obviously he's not 100%.
Yeah, I was going to say, Stefania, any intel on his potential status for week 3?
Just that he missed practice completely on Wednesday. And okay. This was apparently after the game. He reportedly had some tightness. Now, they give their veterans rest on Wednesday, too, so I think today will be a bigger day in assessing that.
Okay, good to know. We'll keep an eye on the Cardinals injury report, which will be out late Thursday afternoon. All right, let's get to the negative matchups here, Mike. And just to note, in that same game we were just discussing, Kenny Golladay draws Patrick Peterson. Mm-hmm. Maybe not quite the same Pat P as in the past, but still an effective player in his own right. We just mentioned Trevon Diggs. Stephon Diggs has been red hot, Mike. He has been perhaps the best value amongst wide receivers so far in fantasy football. But is the day ahead on Sunday going to be a long one?
Yeah, like I said, we might have been talking about him as, are we concerned with Stephon Diggs had he been shadowed by Byron Jones last week? And maybe not. You know, he's a very good receiver. They threw it all out. He might have been fine, but it's just, man, talk about going from a worst-case scenario to a best-case scenario for him in that game last week. But I have Stephon Diggs 19th on my board this week. John Brown 44th. They're going up against the Rams. You mentioned it. Diggs has been tremendous. Wide receiver 4 so far, leads the NFL in receiving yards. John Brown is wide receiver 9, believe it or not, because of all that volume. He has a pair of touchdowns as well. But it's all about the matchup here. I think there's at least a chance Jalen Ramsey shadows Stephon Diggs. We can agree that Ramsey is arguably one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL.
And not arguably.
The best, I should say. Yeah. He's certainly top 5. Diggs is on the perimeter 68% of the time. If he's out there and Ramsey's following him, he will be on him quite a bit. But also, Darius Williams has been targeted less than Ramsey. He's actually playing pretty well on the other side. The Rams have allowed the 5th fewest fantasy points to wide receivers so far this season. So I know the Rams are traveling to Buffalo, but it is a tougher matchup.
They stayed in the East Coast, which was good.
So. That's a good point. That's a good point. But nonetheless, the game is in Buffalo. It's that you would think gives a slight edge to the home team. But nonetheless, it's a tougher matchup than what the Bills have dealt with so far.
Call it the Ralph again. No one asked me, but they need a name, and that's we should call it the Ralph. AJ Green, healthy debate earlier on in the podcast or early in the week about whether he might be cooked or whether he has enough volume that it's going to turn around. It's been bad luck. Before we talk about the matchup, Mike, are you concerned at all about AJ Green based off what your eyes show you?
I would say a little bit, but here's the thing. If the balls are in his hands, I think he's going to catch them, right? Like, some of them have just missed them, right? It mm-hmm. almost seems like just miscommunications or just missed it. You know, just if he caught one of those balls for a touchdown, we might not even be talking really about him being concerned. But for me, it's all about volume. As long as the volume keeps going to him, he's going to get right? He just
I hope so.
So much. He leads the NFL in air yards, right? Like, the ball has been thrown to him a ton. As we're going to get to, he's a tough matchup this week, but I'm not super concerned just yet.
Okay. Well, let's dive into the matchup then.
Yeah. So, the matchup is Darius Slay, who, yes, the Eagles have been beat up with injuries. They've struggled in a lot of areas. Darius Slay is not. He's played pretty well so far. He's allowed 52 yards and 54 coverage snaps. That's what they paid for when they traded for him. That's what they wanted, to shut down number one. He faced Terry McLaurin last week. He shadowed him. I think he will AJ Green this week, who has aligned on the outside 80% of the time. So those two will be up against each other throughout this game. They did face off a couple of years ago. And again, just take this for what it's worth. It was 2017. Slate shattered him on 35 of his 43 routes. Green in that game had 81 yards on 10 targets. So a lot of volume, not a lot of efficiency in that game. But I will say this, though. You're looking for a deep league or a DFS sleeper. Look on the other side, where Avante Maddox has really struggled. T. Higgins, he kind of passed out John Ross, who maybe he's a trade target for Philadelphia. I don't know. But T. Higgins passed him out. He'll see a lot of Maddox. He could be a deep sleeper.
You know what? I think what the Eagles should do is the game's in Philly?
Yes.
Okay. I think Auden Tate, the Bengals' odd man out amongst their wide receivers.
Healthy scratch last week.
Right. Should just keep, like, pack a bunch of bags. Just bring all the stuff on the team flight. And then stay in Philly.
And just stay there.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
And just say, let's work out a deal. I mean, the Eagles certainly could use the wide receiver depth.
That's one team that has depth.
Yeah.
They can move.
They're the rare team that I think is carrying 7 wide receivers on the active roster, as it were. So you're kind of admitting we're too deep for our own
Mike
good.
Mike Thomas caught a touchdown for
them. Yeah. And Mike, they like
Alex
Mike Thomas.
There.
Yeah.
I mean, they just have so many, they can afford to move on.
Yeah. All right. So who's calling Howie Roseman first after the podcast? Hey, you call it Howie, I'll call Zach Taylor.
Okay, done.
Or Duke Tobin, the Bengals GM.
All right.
That actually happens. We get some sort of cut of the profits. I'm not sure how you quantify the profits of a trade, but still.
I love the way that you guys are playing GM here, because I want to throw something to you if you don't mind.
I'm so ready for it.
Smart lineup decisions is informed by IBM Watson with your GM hat on. Deontay Johnson has a 27.7 boom chance this week against the Houston Texans. Do you like him this week either in season-long or in DFS?
I like him in both. Yeah. Yes. The answer is yes. If Kyle can correct me if I'm wrong, it might take a minute, but I believe he's the only player in the NFL with 10-plus targets in both games so far this season.
Yeah, I think it's a 34% target
share. It's absurd.
If he keeps that up all season, he will be a wide receiver one. There's no question about it.
In that offense, he sure will be. And Houston, they're all sorts of jacked up right now. We talked about this yesterday, but be patient with our Texans. They're going to turn things around next week, starting next week. I don't think it'll happen this week because Pittsburgh is so, so good. But I don't know how I can properly evaluate their secondary right now because they played the Chiefs and the Ravens, right? So it's like you're getting the best of the best. Yeah. And now the Steelers, but I think this is not a matchup that scares me for Deontay Johnson. The target share is so good, and if he doesn't have that first fumble in week one, which sort of put people off his scent a tiny bit, we're talking about him even more. So yes, I think there is a much better chance of a boom week this week for Deontay Johnson than a bust week against an average, I think, Houston secondary. Here's a fun fact. The Blatt brothers, all three of them are playing on Sunday. Same game. Do you know that?
Really?
Didn't even put that together.
Yeah, TJ Watt, Derek Watt, JJ Watt.
Wow. Maybe his dad will be serving Subway out in the parking lot like he does in that commercial.
Good call. Do you know it's only happened once before, at least since 1927. You've had three brothers playing in the same game.
Stop it.
And you know what? You guys might actually recall when it last happened. I am Kyle Soppy here. Throw a little trivia your way, huh?
Tables have turned.
I got, you know what, Mike? Unimportant information. The important stuff, it's off there floating in someone else's brain.
I mentioned the Jets Dolphins back to back game, and you were on me on Twitter right away.
I had that ready. I was ready for that one. I knew you were going to tweet it. The last game in which three brothers from the same family all played last year, the Steelers. The Steelers, who had at the time Trey and Terrell Edmonds,
the Edmonds
against Tremaine Edmonds, the excellent linebacker from the Buffalo Bills. So for those of you that need random trivia questions when we can eventually do things like go to trivia outings once again, you've got two right there, courtesy of your friend, Field Yates. All right, Daniel, a couple social questions.
Yeah, let's run through as many of these as we can. We only got a couple minutes, but
let's go. Let's go one person apiece. So like Mike gets one, Stefan gets one, I get one.
Got it. This one comes from at @Mediner93. Should I continue to be patient with Cam Akers, Mike Clay?
I wouldn't start him this week. We don't even know if he's going to play for sure, but just hold tight. I think Henderson is probably the best play right now, but they're going to be frustrating all season, I think.
Okay, agreed. Field. At the timeline zero, flex question, Dallas Goedert or Keelan Cole?
I'm going to go with Dallas Goedert after what Mike told me earlier on in the Jaguars game preview. I don't think that Keelan Cole is going to sustain the production.
All right, Stefania, this is going to come to you. At @J_02, am I overreacting to drop Wentz for Joe Burrow?
No, I want to win now, and I like what I see from Joe Burrow, and clearly he's going to throw the ball. I'm a little nervous about Carson Wentz. I think he can get it right, but I'm not sure you want to wait for him to get it right. And with another loss at wide receiver with Jalen Reagor, I'm going with Joe Burrow.
Okay, Mike Clay, at @25_hour, what in the bloody H-E double orange hockey sticks happened to Nyheim Hines?
He got game scripted, right? He got game scripted. Actually, I knew this question was coming. I have some good quick nuggets here. Jonathan Taylor, 26 carries on 43 snaps in that game last week. Jordan Wilkins, 9 carries on 17 snaps. Nyheim Hines, 0 carries on 8 snaps, right? They were just ahead and blowing them out. They just ran the ball against Minnesota. The Colts led on 30% of their week one snaps when he had a big game. They led on 69% of their week two snaps. They're big favorites this week. I think he'll be better going forward, but that's what happened last week.
Okay. Field, at @Carter's A87, is DJ Chark a buy low candidate, especially if targets are down after tonight's game?
Probably, because I like the talent, and I think it's going to cost you basically nothing. I would say just like generally speaking, it's hard to call him anything but a buy low, right? Like if you like the player, obviously it's not going to cost you much because Mike mentioned he's got 7 targets through 2 games. If he has 4 targets tonight, no one's going to be sitting there, you know, holding steady on, hey, I'm only giving you DJ Chark if you give me your RB2 in return. No, you can probably get him for a bench piece.
Yeah, and Gardner Minshew might actually be, like, really good, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he might pan out as an average or above-average starting quarterback.
Gardner Minshew laughs at mock drafts. He's like, oh, Trevor Lawrence, sweet. He'll be a great backup.
Stefania, this one comes to you at Kingsman Corner. Pick one for this week. T.Y. Hilton, Julian Edelman, or Robbie Anderson?
Who are the Patriots playing?
Raiders.
Ooh.
The Raiders.
Then I'm gonna go with Julian Edelman. The T.Y. Hilton's been a little bit off, not quite seeing it with him and Phillip Rivers yet, even though I think the talent is still there. But if I'm picking right now, it's volume, volume, volume with Edelman. You saw what he did against Seattle last week. Clearly, Cam is looking for jewels the way that Brady did. And Robbie Anderson's been impressive, and I think you can get that one big, you know, multi-fantasy point catch, but I think consistency, volume, Julian Edelman for me.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agree there as well. Good matchups for both Hilton and Edelman. Not such a great matchup for Robbie Anderson. All right, coming up on Friday's show, we are going to break down why Mike Clay forgot to shave before today's show, and that's all we're going to talk
about.
That's it. Nothing else besides that. Just kidding. Full game preview coming on Friday for Matt. Nope, not Matthew. For Mike and Daniel and Stefania on field. We'll talk to you guys on Friday. Go Mustaches. Peace out.
You're in the 06010.